You are listening to.
Listening to.
You are listening to.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
Black is.
BlackIsOnline.com.
Break!
She needs a back. She loves it.
I just wish that I could open up, yeah.
Then it doesn't sound like he delivered, because any other D'Angelo album you just played through.
I mean, it's still 13, 14 tracks. 12 out of...
You didn't have to skip.
Pretty much. No, I would skip on every album. There's at least one or two songs I'd bypass just because it wasn't doing it for me. I think it's solid.
That's a hard standard, though, to be like, oh, well, you set this bar, so if it ain't...
Yeah, that's
if your joint ain't memorable classic, then it's whack. And you're like, well...
That's yeah, because what was that, Brown Sugar?
Yeah. No, that was Voodoo.
Yeah.
Voodoo was that one.
His albums, man, you could just put it on and you don't have to skip. The last two, even Voodoo, I liked them. I mean, I hadn't.
Voodoo is that joint.
Yeah. Got to get that pie, man. That's classic stuff.
Yeah.
But I've never had a problem with listening to D'Angelo where you put the CD on and...
You want to skip
you
a
just,
song.
Yeah. I haven't got that play. Never have I ever got that feel for D'Angelo. But like I said, I didn't really listen to this new one. I got to, like, sit down and really thoroughly listen to it like I normally do.
It's definitely, I think, that kind of vibe. I think if you throw it on in the background, it'll lose you. I think you actually got to allow yourself to, like, be in the moment and zone in and listen to it. And then you'll enjoy it because you'll hear pieces of D'Angelo from Voodoo. To me, it's definitely more Voodoo than Brown Sugar.
I agree.
But he's also gone. I mean, she's been... 14, 15 years now, so
that's
he's
a long time.
Yeah, he's gone somewhere else with it, and then all of his troubles and drama are wrapped up in the lyrics. What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Black Is Break for 2015 with your girl Casey Layman. We have a beautiful round table in the house tonight. It's all family. We got Chris, Tash, the other Chris.
What up?
And Toria. And right now we're talking about D'Angelo, so I guess that's the topic. We'll see where it goes. Y'all know how we do. So, the album dropped at midnight, which just happens to be my new, like, 9 a.m. because I was up with Isley and went ahead and downloaded it. It was one of those ones I bought on GP because of the artist.
Right,
right,
right.
Which I think those of us that truly love, if you loved Brown Sugar and or Voodoo, buy it just because you love the artist.
Yeah.
Just support.
When I bought it, I said to myself, even if it's bad, I don't have a problem with giving this man $10 of mine.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, he's earned it.
That's what I figured myself, too.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Just buy it.
It's one of those artists you support.
Yeah. I think I was just so happy to hear his voice over some new music. I was just so happy that he was doing music that I think I would have been able to receive almost anything. I think I would have found something beautiful, even if the whole album did sound crazy.
Right.
But I went to, I heard the single, the Sugar Daddy, which I personally like. I like that song. Eli and I danced to that little ham bone track. But I was expecting, I don't know what I was expecting.
Yeah.
I really don't. But I do know that out of all the tracks, the one that captured me the most was the very last one, which I don't know if everybody gets to it, because Really Love is that single, and that is such a quintessential D'Angelo song. Mm-hmm. Everybody loves that track. But that last song, he's vibing on some old EWF, Shy Lights, old, like some old groove music. It made me think of when I was like single digits and flipping through my mom's vinyl, listening to her albums. It took me back there in regard to
that's good.
Yeah. Musical arrangement and what he's doing vocally. That's what, like, put that on in the car and turn it all the way up and then just vibe out to it. That's Another Life. That's my track on that album. But overall, I like it. I think it's for somebody who's been gone 14, 15 years, solid effort.
When did the last one drop? When did Voodoo drop?
2000. And I was interning at Virgin Records at the time when that album came out.
That album was dope.
It was
all
the
way around. All the way around.
That one took a little bit to listen to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it wasn't Brown Sugar.
Yeah, I think when you told me when you were there that they wanted him to make a Brown Sugar 2,
yeah.
And he did, and he was like, I don't like this.
Yeah, he did. The energy around Virgin was strange, too, because normally an artist will have a few tracks that are leaked to the label, so everybody is bumping what's about to come out. Because
right.
I was there when Khalees' album dropped, so we was all listening to Khalees. When the first Nerd album dropped, and Aaliyah... The whatever album More Than a Woman was on, because that was playing like crazy. His album was the big question mark because he didn't let anything leak. And everybody was like, well, people who I was working with, they're like, oh, he's strange. He won't let nobody hear anything. But when that album dropped, hush over the crowd.
Man.
Couldn't nobody say anything because it was off the chain. Mm-hmm. But it was completely different from Brown
Sugar.
Good for
him. Yeah. I agree with you. It's an album that you should listen to on headphones, I think.
Or in the car,
yeah, in a really controlled... I listened to it while I was working out, and I was like, all right, let me just... And I still don't mess with the first two tracks. but no, I mean, not because they're bad musically, just because they're just not, you know, my cup of music. And but I will say... that this album's raw in the way that Voodoo was. Like, it's almost like it's not mixed down. It's not overly produced. It's not so clean. So you want to, in a controlled car headphone setting, so you can hear the details and the minutia of the songs. And then, I mean, one of the things I love about D'Angelo is I never understand what he's saying. And some people are like, I can't understand what he's saying. It's like... It's like Anita Baker. Sometimes you're just in the groove. Sometimes you're just in the, like, it don't matter what he's saying. You know, it's like,
you know,
like,
but the,
and you know, that would be fine.
You know what he's saying in that other song, shit damn motherfucker.
Right, right. True.
Yeah. Well, Brown Sugar was definitely the most polished studio sounding album out of the three that he's done. But look, like our friend Daryl said, a lot of that is his Pentecostal background. It's just that mumble that.
Right.
Then he just come in and put some words on top of that, and you're getting the mumble with some lyrics.
Because he might not remember what the lyric is.
For anybody who's a D'Angelo fan and just a music fan anyway, check out all of Red Bull Music Academy interviews. But the one he did with Nelson George was really good. And it hit me in the moment I was watching that interview that, one, I had never seen D'Angelo do an interview before. So that was a new experience. But he said he's a one take guy. So he'll go into the studio, and even if he doesn't know lyrically what he wants to say, he knows what the spirit of the song is. So he might just hum and mumble over the track, and he'll keep that. And then he'll come back in and try to make sense out of the mumbles. So I think part of the reason why some of it is inaudible is just because that's how it was recorded. it wasn't. As where he said Brown Sugar, that whole album he wrote in his bedroom.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, I like the fact that it sounds like it's a raw live album.
Yeah.
Because you hear it and it's like, this is just him and his band. And they play. Because that's why it's not Deanna, it's D'Angelo.
And the Vanguard. Mm-hmm.
The cover remind me of like some juke joint, you know, type music.
Mm-hmm.
People out, you know, back in the South, how they was, you know, dancing and playing around and listening to the music. Back in some woods somewhere.
Yeah.
And they said it came out at the right time because I think it was supposed to be released this year, 2015. But as everything that was going on, he's just like, this is the time.
Yeah.
And I'm going to just drop it. And, you know, secret drops, I guess, are the thing now. Like,
secret
I'm going to
drop
albums with no marketing.
It only works for an artist that actually holds some weight.
You got to be established.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what, though, man? I think, like, a lot of music now is... the problem with people can't relate is because most people don't know what they listening to now. We getting watered down with like a lot of craziness now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So you don't really know what you really listening to or what you should be listening to. Especially like if you trapped in a time where, you know, you from the early 90s. That whole 90s music period, that was like a real golden time when they were making really good music back then.
Yeah.
Rap, R&B, all that stuff, you know what I'm saying? It was really good in those times. So you trying to rekindle that, but a lot of people, they not really on that because they figure like the kids nowadays, they listening to brainless stuff. You know, a lot of trap music.
Yeah. And the thing is, when you do get something of substance, it seems out of place or dated.
Right.
Or just something that's weird. I find it funny. I feel like the critique for this album is on two ends of the spectrum, which both have me laughing. Because on one end, you have people who are like, oh my God, this is the second coming of R&B. And I'm like, pause, have a seat. Then you have people on the other end who are like, I just don't get this album. I don't think it's good. It's kind of whack. And I'm like, pause and have a seat. Right. It's somewhere in between,
right,
you know,
right.
And if you have, I think, a good musical foundation and a love of music, you find yourself falling in, you know, right around there in the middle.
Yeah, you have people who didn't like the album at first because it wasn't voodoo. And you're like, well, you know, I don't really like it. Then you have people were praising, I think, a little too much just because, yeah, the way music is now, it was like a breath of fresh air. And they're like, oh my God, I ain't heard nothing like this in so long. This album is the greatest. You're like, well,
exactly.
It's not the greatest, but from what you're hearing now,
right,
you're just like, oh my God, thank you.
It's a breath of fresh
air. Yes. Yes.
Shit, man, I know people who thought Tribe Called Quest was whack. And I was like, what the hell you smoking?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I was trying to figure that out. But listening to D'Angelo, whatever he do, man, I'm pretty sure it's going to be good.
Yeah.
You know?
I hope he tours here. I know he's doing a European tour at the beginning of this year, and I hope he comes and does a tour here. Just seemed like the brothers had a whole lot of tragedy and hard times. And it's funny finding out that the Untitled video, the How Does It Feel, that kind of was the impetus for his fall. it's interesting. If you just check out some of the interviews he's done in the last couple of years, you get up to speed on where he's been. Look, he had so much tragedy happen. I'm just glad the brother's alive and still able to do music. And in spite of all the stuff he was doing, drugs, alcohol, whatever, he still has that voice.
Yeah, he does.
He's very mm-hmm. lucky in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
If I was a record label, I would definitely want to let my artists freely be themselves and do what they wish. I think you would get the best out of your artists if you would allow them to do those kind of things. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? So like that Untitled song, you mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? Him doing that, I think that was like really him opening himself, you know what I'm saying, spiritually. And that song was actually really good. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
And the video wasn't bad.
Oh, yeah. The video is what did it.
The video wasn't bad.
Yeah. Apparently, he didn't like being objectified. And the video led to him being, like when he was on stage, people just hollering at him, like, take it off. And him feeling pressure to maintain that physique. And I had to,
he blew up at one point after that.
Well, I had to be reminded, on Brown Sugar, he wasn't no small dude.
Right.
He was just wearing big baggy clothes. Right. He was like the most fit ever for that video. But I don't think that's naturally his body size.
Right.
Now, plus, I think with how you always complain about with the Hype Williams era, and all of that it was like, women were like, finally, all this TNA, can we get some?
Right.
And then it was like,
something to look at, please.
And because guys were like, the song's good, but I'll just, I ain't looking.
Yeah, I did walk away with my own copy of that version, girl. I got my own extended. Yes.
Made us all feel some kind of way.
I could do without the video.
But you knew, you were like, this video is clearly for women and gay men. But he was like, and I was like, you know, we got our, let them, they got their one.
Our one.
But speaking of how the other Chris was saying about the artists that just want to come in and make music freely, I don't know that artists like that still exist. They're far and few. You know, right now it's all about, let me give you a one-hit wonder, get you pumped up, crunked. So it's hard to find, like, let's think of artists today. Who would you consider a genuine artist by the definition of they truly are musicians, they love the art of music?
Azealia Banks. I would.
Okay.
And when I think about her body of work and what she does, like, sometimes it'll be like house music and sometimes it'll be like straight hip hop. And she's just a kid who, you know, just went rummaging through some beats and was like, oh, I can rap to this. I mean, she's not a musician per se, but she has a really good ear.
Okay.
I would hope she promote more of her music and just
less of her body.
Well, less of her comment on everything on Twitter.
Yeah,
and nah, Instagram she's, just she's going amazing. Off on folk.
Yeah. And it's detracted from her music in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why I was struggling with that then. Cause, yeah, because when I think of her, I think of all her drama and news. Who else?
I would give it to Leanne LaHavis, but I know everybody doesn't even know who she
is. See, they tend to be artists that aren't popular or not well known.
Well, yeah, they're usually either UK artists or something that's not in a pop genre.
Yeah, because she's the bomb, but I think a lot of people, they're just not aware of who she is or they don't listen to her music. It's a little too... Because how would you define her music? It's not soul and R&B, although it is soulful.
It's some of that.
It's almost a little folksy at times.
Yeah. Hmm.
And she plays the guitar, but her voice, to me, she is probably the best vocalist we have right now.
Wow.
Her voice is amazing. And I've heard her live, and it's knee-buckling. Her voice is amazing.
Yeah, D'Angelo's, I would say the...
No, man, they never will.
KJLH, never mind. We're going to love KJLH regardless.
Stevie Wonder still on that station?
Yes, yeah. He does. Okay. He's on there waiting like before you back twice home. A week.
I mean, I feel as if there's certain songs I hear, and I'm just like, how come this isn't being played on KJLH? Like, this is what adult contemporary R&B music should sound like now.
But look at the DJs on KJLH. Or the radio personalities.
But when I hear the songs on KGLH and y'all going to hate me, I feel as if sometimes I don't like my love songs to be too gospel-y. That's just
get the Bible.
No. Yeah, yeah.
Like the kind of songs where if you replace baby with Jesus, it will flow.
Yeah, or just like
strong, overpowering voices.
Yeah, the strong, overpowering voices, or that riff that like, like really, do we need the '90s riff? You know, like we can leave that at home. But God bless KJLH. I have nothing but love for them.
Kindness, joy, love, and happiness.
Right.
Well, KJLH play hip hop, and that's when I was like, when they started playing rap every now and then, I'm like, why?
You've changed.
On the weekends. Yeah,
yeah, I can't even think of an hour on KJLH that's like good.
And I feel as if KJLH actually like taught us something about music, like play, you know, have a week or have an hour playing Holland Dozier Holland songs or all songs that Curtis Mayfield wrote and like educate us as, you know, on black music. Yes. And keep us connected to the big songwriters. I mean, songwriting is a real art, as you mentioned, Toria. I like this cat out of UK, Sampha. Have you guys heard of him?
I've heard of Sampha.
Yeah, he's like, to me, he's a real artist. But of course, he's in UK. He's a black guy. I don't think he's going to make it over the pond, as they say, or whatever.
Well, the funny thing is, he's on Drake's album.
Oh, yeah, he is. He's on that Too Much song.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's him. He wrote that song before Drake rapped over it, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't play. I mean, with Toria's question, I'm thinking with black music, it would outside of D'Angelo, that I would guess consider black music because, you know, once Beyonce hit it so big that are you like, do I call yours black music? Are you so big that now you're in the pop category and you can't? Do you make quote unquote black music or your hers just everything's crossover ish music?
That's what it's about now.
I know.
That's what it's about now though.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's trying to stay relevant in that sense and just making pop music. Cause think about it. Let's say for instance, Usher, what is he making that you really can relate to now? You know what I'm saying? Before what's his last album?
I like that song. That's
yeah, he has that one with like I don't mind if you dancing or something like that.
I don't mind.
But before then, you know, when he was doing this music, his last one, it was titled Usher. You know, with
Usher Raymond or something.
Yeah. After that, I kind of lost him. You know what I'm saying?
He had that one that where he talking about basically, I like the way you kiss my D.I. To me, I'm like, that ain't no lips.
That's my song.
That's on Bumps. But I'm just like,
bang, bang, bang. That's something. Yeah. That's the business.
No, it bang.
But she's just a good kisser. Yeah.
Yeah, and then he has this one now.
The lipstick on my.
Yeah, because like I like the way you kiss it. I'm like, oh, okay, I got you.
And now he don't care if you slide down the pole.
Yeah, that song, I was like, wow.
Wow.
It's not like, I don't mind that you...
That song strikes me as the type of thing that you can convince yourself of in the moment. You know, like, hey, baby, I don't care. But like after like it's all said and done, when you really think about it, you're like, yeah, I'm not introducing you to my parents.
I do care.
Mom, this is Cherry.
No, that's
not her. On Thursdays, Fridays, and Saturdays.
Right. She's very smart, though. She's paying her way through college.
No judgment.
What you do? Yeah.
You know, but he in Atlanta, so of course that means everybody named mama love that. He talking to me.
Right. Magic City Music. Magic City. Yeah, see, it's hard to think of like good music that's out right
People
now.
Write music uniquely for the strip club or the club. Mm-hmm.
Right,
or,
for the turn up.
Yeah,
for the And the turn industry up. Has changed. The music industry isn't what it was. So you don't have like artists that actually get groomed. You know, you see talent in the artists, you bring them in, you put them under the seasoned vets and you groom them and all. That doesn't happen. The internet has completely killed the idea of, you know, people even needing that. You can just put something out on YouTube and get popular. I mean, that's how you got people like Ice JJ Fish who can call himself an artist.
Who? Y'all you didn't ain't hear about his secret drop?
Ice JJ Fish?
What? No.
I'm going to just let y'all drop. Google that on your own time.
What?
That's his name?
Ice JJ Fish.
Yeah.
I'm like,
I don't even like the name.
Right.
Ice JJ Fish.
Everything else falls along the same line.
Yeah. There's no A&R anymore. They don't let them develop. I know now album sales don't matter. So I know that recently they changed it to where... all those music streaming sites, that's now going to be part of the how you get your
fans.
Get out
because nobody's buying
music.
Like 200,000 is pretty good selling like that your first week. Before it was like if you ain't pushing 300,000-400,000, you know it may be a flop. Now 200,000 is the way to go. So now they're counting all the Spotify and the Pandora spins.
Wow,
that's part of it.
So. With that said, people, if you are...
Keep your collection of music, yo.
Right. Don't sell your vinyl. Hold on to your CDs.
Go to Amoeba.
Yes. And go ahead and get that new D'Angelo. Mm-hmm. Give it a listen. Give it a listen. Anybody else have anything to say in summation?
Yeah, bring the knots back. You remember the knots?
And that's mixtapes. I like to sell mixtapes. Yeah. Bring everybody back.
Right.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Artists that should have been retired are coming out of retirement to drop
albums. Just try to save this, right? Mm-hmm. Let's save it.
Like, that shit ain't happening. I'm going to drop an album.
Wait, MC Light dropped an album?
She's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
Light is dope.
Light is a rock.
Yeah. I love Light is a Rock. Cha, 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 all that.
Yeah. But we thank y'all for listening. Tune in next time. Peace.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Is Break. We'd love to hear your thoughts on the subject. Hit us up. Let us know what you think. You can reach us on Facebook at Black Is Magazine, on Twitter at Black Is Online. You can hit us up via email at kc@blackisonline.com. Leave a message on the hotline, 323-455-4219. You can always check us out on our website, blackisonline.com. Thanks again.